okay.
I did it.
You did it. You pushed the button.
Yay!
Yay! We recorded something for Thanksgiving, and we've had some, but which I never finished producing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But, yeah, so I may, if I can, I'll go back and make episodes out of some unused recordings if they still seem at all worth listening
relevant.
To. You know, we haven't been doing it much. We've had lots of great intentions and plans.
Hopes and dreams.
And every time we try to get a project underway, oh, look, there's Eleanor got into the upstairs bedroom. And that's
look,
just
Nutella.
Oh, look, there's Nutella all over the walls, you know.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
So this is a little bitch session, like a little pre-COVID bitch session.
Yeah, I'm warming up.
Right on. I mean, I think we can ground it like, hey, it's been a long time. Sorry. We had to scream into the void about the pandemic, though, so here we are.
Yeah, okay. So, great. That's our intro. That's and so we're going to try and record today in several sections. Part one is a little essay that I very, very hastily wrote called Maps and Territories.
Yeah, where are we? Where are we going?
If you hear us shuffling paper, it's
because we did our homework this time.
We have a pile of papers. Okay. So I want to talk about the concept of a map, the concept of the territory, the difference between them.
Yes.
And also the concept of narrative.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, and I know, that the map you're following often has significant discrepancies.
Yes.
From the actual territory. And one of my favorite examples is I bought, shortly after I moved to Ann Arbor, I bought a map. Mm-hmm. And that map did not show Main Street intersecting itself at a right angle.
Correct.
It drove me batty trying to follow this map and find things. Because I drove around looking very carefully at the landscape and realized I could see where the street had been rerouted.
Yes.
Into an intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and it became clear. But I have no idea how far out of date that was, but it was years out of date.
Years out of date. Well, and my Ann Arbor experience was State Street and Packard, or State Street Stadium.
Right. It looks like they intersect.
They don't intersect.
Yeah.
You're never going to get onto Stadium from State. It's not going to happen for you.
Right. So it's... It can be very frustrating.
Very frustrating trying to follow the map when you aren't really familiar with the territory.
Right. And this is exactly the situation, metaphorically, in which we find ourselves. Also in play is something called the narrative.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling a bit to think of a really good analogy, but in my head, the narrative is sort of your guidebook to the culture and customs the area that tells you where all the good restaurants are.
Yeah.
It informs you of how you interpret the landmarks and, you know, what you should be looking for.
Right.
And also, in a way, it might be your compass.
Yes.
To help keep you oriented towards your larger goal. If your goal of navigating a territory is to, you know, find a good a tiki bar or something, then you'll be using the guidebook and following the narrative to get there.
Right.
Anyway, the narrative has been the story of vaccines, which are so successful that the pandemic will end because we will achieve herd immunity through vaccination.
Yay!
Masks will be needed only among unvaccinated people. And unvaccinated people refusing to get the vaccine are responsible for prolonging the pandemic and making themselves sick.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they deserve whatever COVID may do to harm them, up to and including prolonged and painful death. This is the natural consequence of their decisions.
Indeed.
This is the Now, we're going to pick that apart. Yeah, obviously, I don't believe that.
Right.
But this is...
And dear listener, you might.
This is a large part of... This is my understanding of the current state of the mainstream narrative.
Yes.
As evinced and spouted off and promoted by people, including the White House.
Yep.
Right. At all levels.
At all levels. And this is not a full overview of the narrative and the conversation for the entire pandemic. This is where we are today and the narrative we've had basically since January.
Right.
About the pandemic.
Right. The territory we find ourselves in is very different.
Mm-hmm.
As we head into our second fall of the pandemic, we're in an uncharted place. We really are off the map. We're in Here Be Dragons area.
Yeah.
There are narratives and guidebooks and historical precedents for where we are.
Yes.
And we'll talk about some of those. But these largely aren't being discussed.
Well, actually, I want to say, though, just to interject and use the analogy we're making about having a map of Ann Arbor when you got here.
Yes.
I think we're still on the map. It's just that if you come to Ann Arbor because the schools are great, and maybe you don't know as a black person that the schools aren't great for you.
Yes.
You'll find yourself in this...
In danger.
In danger. And you're still on the map, and you're in the place where you were supposed to be safe.
Yes, yes.
But nobody was mentioning, no one talked about how this wasn't
right.
safe.
Right. So the...
But boom, look at you. Here you are.
Yeah. So the map may be more or less accurate in broad strokes, but the guidebook is way out of date.
Way out of date.
And we don't have the equivalent of a green book.
Nope.
Right.
So... Yes.
That's written with our needs and safety in mind. Yes.
So, carry on. Yes.
Okay. So, as we head into our second fall during the pandemic, we're in, I said, an uncharted place, but
yeah.
Community spread is rising alarmingly as we head into a second wave.
Yes.
Now, many people are saying this is the third wave or the fourth wave or whatnot, but you believe, and I believe you, that really zooming out more broadly over time,
yeah.
this is in fact a second wave.
Because if you look at what people are calling waves, they're like surges in one wave.
In one community.
Right.
Yeah.
And the surge is large enough to bump the whole wave for the nation.
Right.
But like if you look at the whole thing for the United States, there was a...
They're local maxima rather than peaks.
Precisely.
And
it finally, this late spring, got low enough that it was similar to the beginning of the pandemic.
Right.
So,
and we should, I think of this in a longer time horizon than we have been.
Right.
And that includes, we think of flu season
yep.
as an annual event.
Correct.
And, you know, so we're heading into our second COVID season, you know, I mean, it's not gone away, but spread naturally, like infections naturally follow a seasonal pattern because the virus is more transmissible during different times of year.
Seasons. Well, yeah, yes and no. It's largely because of our pattern of activity.
Yeah. Yes. Well, sure.
But yeah. go on. Yeah.
So the vaccine has proven very helpful. I am not an anti-vaxxer, I just want to say. Proven very helpful in preventing deaths and hospitalization. But it is not preventing community spread or reinfection,
mm-hmm.
especially in the presence of dangerous new variants.
Yeah.
It won't work on many people.
Not most, but many.
Many, including... something the mainstream narrative has not talked about all that much.
No.
The entire population of children under the age of 12 who are so far unable to get vaccinated.
Right. It's not going to work on them. And folks are quick to point out, oh, the best way to protect them is to have all adults vaccinated. Yeah, all right, whatever. But carry on.
That is a step. But there are also quite a few adults who are not fully protected by vaccination.
Yes.
And there are people who aren't supposed to get the vaccine for medical reasons.
Yep.
And there are people who, even after either having COVID and or
getting the vax,
sometimes both, will not mount a good immune response because they have damaged immune systems.
Right.
That's more common than people
you might realize.
Think.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people with immunocompromised positions live normal lives.
If you're an adult and you think about it, how many people do you know of personally in your circles, your family, your acquaintances, your employers,
colleagues.
who have had or have now some form of cancer?
That's that population.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking
about. If you're like me, it's quite a few.
Yeah.
And you probably know personally or have relatives you either very close to or not so close to who have died of cancer.
Yeah.
But there are also, you probably know survivors and you probably know people in chemo now.
Yes.
It adds up to a lot of people. And that's just cancer.
Just cancer.
Right.
We're not talking about lupus or any of these other things.
Right. And those are also, those numbers add up.
Yeah.
So despite the technocratic faith in pharmaceutical interventions, I wrote infections. Sorry. I can't even read my own handwriting. We can't abandon prevention measures.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the sort of the two notions of tackling the pandemic in general.
Oh, right.
Later. The Biden administration is staring at the map instead of looking at the territory.
Yeah.
And despite their claims to follow the science, they will not pivot fast enough to save lives.
No.
More people will die of COVID under this administration than the last one.
Yeah.
But Democrats will defend this administration and the capitalists who have chosen this path for us.
Absolutely. And I don't know. Perhaps we're just fools for questioning it.
So today we want to read from a number of different articles and talk about how the power of narratives misleads us and how a radical left-wing perspective requires us to examine the facts, not the press releases, and an orientation towards protecting people and not capital.
Right. Yeah, because all the conversations we're having, the entire narrative that we're having as a nation is about protecting capital. At no point are we having a conversation about what it means and what it would take to protect people. And for the record, I think we've spent well over what it would cost in time and money to protect people.
I want to talk a little bit about the idea that you can get a sort of read on your position, on whether or not you're interrogating things closely enough.
All right.
Do you know one of the people you disagree with most who makes a great point, who has made a great point?
Yeah.
Or who occasionally makes a great point?
Yeah.
Or does everything the people you disagree with sound wrong to you?
Oh, not entirely, but yeah.
Do you know all the smartest and best people you know who occasionally make bad takes, have bad takes, really
like
more
what the hell?
Morally...
What the hell takes?
Like misbegotten.
Yeah, I call them what the hell takes.
Yeah. So if none of the people you disagree with ever say anything that seems right to you, none of the people you agree with ever says anything that seems wrong to you, I maintain that you may not be interrogating the world itself, the world of facts, the world of, you know, the territory
right.
closely enough.
And you're verifying that you're still on the map.
And you may not, you may be looking too closely at the map and you may be too engaged with the narrative. If you're not able to really write your own footnotes, addenda, or, you know, revisions to the narrative.
Or even just have questions to ask.
Or questioning the narrative, interrogating it.
Right.
And this is not comfortable.
No. Well, I'm a weirdo. I kind of get excited.
Well, you like it? I kind of like it too.
Yeah, I kind of like it when something challenges
me. But it's not comfortable.
And, oh, that's true. It's not comfortable.
And I'm going to say, watching, getting any of your news from TV sources is those news sources are designed to promote the narrative that they want to promote, and they do it rapid fire with very stimulating and engaging, you know, well, presentations. And, yes. They have to have an argument.
Well, and everything's a news story.
Everything's a news story. Right. Everything's an argument. Everything's of both sides, and everything is a horse race.
Right.
And if you don't have that framing and that presentation for it, these people are right, these people are wrong, these people are good. It's very Manichaean, you know.
Right. It gets very, and just sort of like a vicious if you leave the script, you know?
Yeah.
Like I had this, like just recently, Simone Biles stepping down from competition became this huge news story.
Right.
And, you know, I don't have anything to say about her stepping down from competition, except, you know, good for her. But it became this news cycle.
Right.
And if people were like, what's going on with this story?
Because
they would get viciously attacked. Like,
right.
How can you say this?
Right. Because the TV news, because that cycle requires controversy. If it bleeds, it leads. It requires
right.
debate, even when there should be no debate.
No debate, right? There's nothing to talk about, but here we are talking about
yeah.
it, right?
And it happens in social media, and it happens right. in print media as well, where people have to get clicks.
Well, but this is the part that was weird to me.
Yeah.
If you kind of pushed back on that narrative at all,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes the pushback was kind of in poor taste, right?
Like, yeah.
And sometimes the pushback was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But any pushback got a really swift and firm fuck you.
Right, right.
Like, how dare you question
yeah.
this narrative?
Absolutely.
And the thing is, it's just not that big a deal.
It's not that big a deal.
So, but yeah, it
that's
just, but,
the thing.
But it turned into this like vicious, how dare you? The moment anyone's like,
yeah.
what's going on with the narrative here? Now, what's going on with this news
yeah,
cycle?
Now, I'll go ahead and virtue signal here by saying I completely support Biles in her decision for her own safety and the safety of her team and all this to
step down from competition.
To step down from competition.
Like I said, yeah, good for
you
her.
Read the story of her life and what happened to her with the,
Nassar.
With Nassar, and happened right here in Michigan, a few miles
yeah.
away. And I have no reason to believe she doesn't have PTSD and all kinds of,
right.
you know.
Yeah, complex trauma.
Well, yeah.
Right.
And so, I mean, here's the thing. When you're doing gymnastics, you have to have all these behaviors down.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be wired into your reflexes.
Right.
And if you have to stop and think midway through a combination flip and twist 12 feet in the air, you're going to hurt yourself.
Precisely.
You really are. You have to be doing this on instinct, having done it 1,000 times in practice.
Right.
If you're having a really bad day, they describe it as not the twisties.
The twisties, right.
Where like twisties is like where you feel you no longer can tell where you are kinesthetically when you're twisting, when your body's twisting or rolling or flipping.
Right.
And that's bad.
That's bad.
It means that you can't do the move.
Right.
And so she knew that because she had flubbed slightly a couple of things that she knew how to do.
Right.
And so it was time.
It's time to step before it gets
to not have yeah. to not be carried out of the stadium on a back brace.
Right, right. And so, like I said, good for her.
Yeah.
So. And if I have anything to add, like I really appreciate what she's done for other gymnasts
yeah.
and other young women,
yeah,
other people,
right,
to say, you know what,
for,
I need to stop
for her team
and for her team.
And
right.
if your take, like the Federalist, was that.
Like, can we even not repeat their take? Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
I'll let you look it up. It's just as offensive as
this is asinine as you might imagine.
But so, again, that was written because it would get clicks.
Because it would get clicks,
you know?
Right?
And
so this, yeah, it was a very strange eruption in the news cycle.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the whole news cycle is like this. that's a narrative for which you can't question anything about it, even at all.
Yes.
Even like just really kind of innocuous questions.
Right. Because of this polarization, this yeah. intense tribalism that seems to be getting more intense.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, this slide towards fascism.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if none of this is true of you, if you never see your political enemies as having good points, or your political friends and peer group as making occasionally stupid and wrong points, I'm going to suggest that you may be
step back
feeding yourself on homogenized, pasteurized media with a particular bias that matches your preferences
and worldview,
and not challenging yourself with outside opinions.
Right.
So,
which I understand that that's hard, and I at this point I don't know if I learned or was taught. If that distinction makes sense,
yeah.
To enjoy being challenged and to take it as an opportunity, but it's true. It doesn't feel good, and depending on how invested you are, it might feel embarrassing and mortifying.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, you might have to realize that you've been wrong about something. My favorite example is the McDonald's hot coffee woman.
Right? Oh, right, right, right.
Right. Well, a lot of people attacked her because a lot of media pundits attacked her.
Right.
As, my God, she spilled coffee on her lap and thinks now she's entitled
money.
To, you know, all this money.
Tort reform.
If you really read what happened, she was severely burned.
She didn't get enough money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was severely burned, and this was far from the first complaint that McDonald's, yeah. or even the first settlement that McDonald's had to pay out
over their fucking coffee.
Of keeping their coffee at 200 degrees Fahrenheit.
I mean, it's fucking
just
coffee.
Short of boiling.
Yeah.
Right.
But here we are, right?
Yeah. Anyway. That
And you, just to be clear, an elderly woman needed skin grafts on her vulva and upper thigh.
Yeah.
Skin grafts. Months of surgery. Coffee.
Very painful and very expensive.
Should not do that to anyone.
No. I've burned myself with hot coffee out of a takeout right. cup. Places like Tim Hortons serve their coffee at more like 175, 180, something yeah. like that. You will burn your mouth if you chug it.
Right.
But if you
it's
spill
not gonna take
some,
off a layer of skin.
You're not going to need reconstructive surgery.
Yes. I mean, really, just to be clear.
You might have some blisters.
There are no circumstances where your food should cause you to need reconstructive surgery. They don't exist.
Right. And they knew. That's what the discovery process led to.
That they knew this was a hazard.
Yes.
And they served it
did
anyway.
Not care because it would cost them to change their procedures and equipment.
I mean, all the printing. I mean, just think about the printing.
Think about the printing. All those manuals.
Right.
Those loose leaf binders had to be
the
updated.
The retrainings. Ah, the retrainings. I just hate those.
Some facts today. The Delta variant is extremely infectious.
Yep.
The vaccine does not seem to be effective at preventing transmission of Delta.
Nope. Well, it's like the numbers, it's like 64-65% effective at preventing infection, symptomatic infection.
In you. In the vaccinated person.
Correct. Yes. But you can still catch it and transmit it.
Yes. Existing tests detect the Delta variant.
Yep.
And I'll go into exactly what I mean by that later because I got into an endless argument on Twitter.
Interminable.
About this.
Twitter's interminable anyway. But go on.
But they're less sensitive to Delta because of the mutations. And we'll unpack what we mean by this.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the Delta viral molecules are slightly different in a different order than the test was originally calibrated to catch. And so it's somewhat lower odds that it will read positive.
So the odds are higher that you'll get a false negative.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're now watching the whole world become an incubator for new variants. We're watching news about Lambda.
Exciting.
I'm following news about a variant known currently as the Colombian variant. I assume that will be changed because they try to take like country names and
out of this picture.
Out of the picture.
I, And Lambda is not Columbia.
No,
there's it's actually a different one still. Is it Gamma? But go on.
And there will no doubt be more. This is the one possible path to Captain Trips. Now, I don't think you ever read or watched The Stand, did you?
I watched The Stand.
Oh, did you? You watched, was that HBO miniseries?
It was, I think it was on television, but I remember Molly Ringwald was in it. So I watched
I don't remember which, I think it's been remade, but
yeah.
I think there was a recent one too, but I believe that was the HBO miniseries.
Yeah, that was really recent.
So The Stand is a Stephen King novel. It is a weighty Stephen King novel.
Yep.
In the, I think in 90 something, he released an uncut. It came out in 1978.
Right.
In 90 something, he released unexpurgated, uncut author's preferred text, which weighed in at like 1,100 pages or something. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
I read it, and it's actually a pretty engaging novel.
Yes, but does it all need to be there?
No.
Yeah, that's
no,
my thing. That's
absolutely.
My thing. Yeah, it's a little.
But it is pretty engaging, and the character arcs are engaging.
Yes.
And
that's
It is. He writes good characters doing realistic things amid in very unrealistic circumstances.
Right.
And that's the thing. He sort of eases you into a world in which you're prepared to believe in supernatural crazy shit, you know.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah.
So, anyway, Captain Trips in the book is an influenza strain that was developed in a bioweapons lab and accidentally leaked into the general population.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it was known that it had leaked, there was actually American government action to leak it to other countries as well. Because we couldn't have a if
we're gonna die,
if we're gonna be decimated, we're gonna take
everyone
these,
with us.
Yeah, everyone else with us, because otherwise their populations will now dwarf ours, right? Which is
true. Crazy, but there it is.
Anyway,
just nuts. It's
sort of a metaphor for mutual assured destruction. Right?
Yes.
So, Captain Trips is extremely infectious, and it is fatal in over 99% of the cases.
Yep.
So this has the effect of killing almost the entire population of the world in about a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy to read this story.
No, it's bonkers.
It is fiction, and I'm not actually claiming that this exact scenario is possible or likely.
Or what's happening, right?
But I do claim that nature is ceaselessly inventive.
Indeed she is.
And allowing most of the world's population to serve as engines of mutation, basically as petri dishes.
Yeah, just incubating
and new. Natural selection by allowing their own immune systems to weed out, you know,
weaker ones.
Viruses. And then fly everywhere.
Yay!
Is a very...
Going on a plane!
Very, 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 very bad idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's...
But it's what we're doing.
It's what we're doing. And the engine of capitalism requires it. We know alarmingly little about the long-term effects of COVID.
Nothing really. We only know what happens in the first 18 months.
Right. So we know about long COVID. As a man, I look nervously on reports that it can cause impotence long term.
Yeah.
And that's not fun. But I also look alarmingly on recent documentation that suggests that it can cause cognitive deficits equivalent to like early onset Alzheimer's or some sort of dementia.
Yeah.
And cause on average a loss of 7 IQ points.
Yeah, I'm using mine.
I'm using mine too. I use those to earn a living.
And it's all I got, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all I got.
it's true. It's literally, you know, my smartassery is literally the only thing.
What else am I, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, don't have any to spare.
Yeah. So... Meanwhile, the power of narrative and the power of factionalism and the power of tribalism and the addictive nature of modern media have primed us all to turn on each other.
Yeah.
There's an old trope about how in primitive societies, people are so tribal that if a member of a tribe comes across a person injured or sick or in desperate need, like in the forest,
right,
they will step over that person and keep walking with as little thought as they might step over a fallen tree,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they don't view that person of a different tribe
as a person.
It's right. Just furniture, just background, backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a slur against primitive people.
It really is.
Right.
So it's not something that happens.
It's not something for real. That happens in they do war against each other.
They war against each other. And folks they've never seen before.
Right.
You don't come here.
Yeah. But anyway.
But, you see someone in the forest, you help them out.
Yeah. But we should take
look closely that at ourselves.
And look closely at our own conduct, especially our willingness to throw all our young people and all the unvaxxed.
All the immunocompromised.
And all the immunocompromised into the rotating blades of capitalism.
Right in the meat grinder, kids.
Yep. Step right in. Anyway, that is our intro. That is Maps and Territories.
Yeah.
We're going to take a pause.
Right on.
And we'll be back with part one. No, part two. Sure. I'm a computer scientist. I count from zero.
That happens.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay. So what would you press the stop button?
That's the red one, right?
It's the one next to the red one.